He is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia, alleluia. Again, good morning and welcome everyone to St. Peter. And as we celebrate the feast, the solemnity of the resurrection, this is the greatest, the highest, the most solemn of all the feasts, of all the celebrations, of all the things we do. This is it. It doesn't get any higher than Easter itself. And particularly the Easter Vigil, where we celebrate that throughout the night and the big long liturgy and all that kind of stuff. But this is it. It's our highest feast day. But something a lot of Catholics don't know is we actually celebrate the resurrection once a week. Every Sunday is actually Easter. Every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, which is why every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. Every Sunday the church asks and insists that we attend Mass every Sunday because we're celebrating this solemnity, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Okay, so why is it such a big deal? Why does this matter so much? And I think to answer that question, I would say the same thing that St. Paul said in the first letter to the Corinthians. He puts it like this: if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. That's pretty bold, pretty black and white. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. It all boils down to, did Jesus rise from the tomb or not? St. Paul, so to speak, put all his Easter eggs in one basket. All of it, all of our bets, everything that we believe, everything that we profess as Christians, either rises or falls with the resurrection. If it happened, if Jesus of his own power rose from the dead, then we need to pay attention to what he says. And if he didn't, we're wasting a bunch of time. We could be sleeping in every Sunday morning, right? That line, if Christ is risen from the dead, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. That is in the Cathedral of St. Louis. I'll never forget Archbishop Carlson, the Archbishop of St. Louis, telling us seminarians about his first day of being ordained a bishop, the Archbishop of St. Louis, that their church is like ours. It's cruciform, right, in the shape of a cross. And the bishop's presider's chair is off to one side, and so he was sitting over on that side, and he sat down in the presider's chair, and across the transept, kind of written across the top, was, if Christ is not risen, then your faith is in vain. But from where he saw, because of the way the pillars were set up and the corner of the building, he could only see the second half. So he sat down and looks up, and it says, your faith is in vain. And he's like, oh. He's, you know, wearing his mitre, his pallium. He just made archbishop. But he reflected on that truth. Is our faith in vain? So last night at the Easter Vigil, we had 8 people join our parish, join the Catholic Church here in St. Peter's. Throughout the diocese, we had one of the largest incoming classes of people joining the church. I think about roughly 250 people across the diocese became Catholic last night. And across the United States, across the board, it's a record number, or a very large number, that we haven't seen in a very, very long time, decades, of people becoming Catholic. Even in France, I just read an article about France. Now, France, back in the day, used to be called the eldest daughter of the church. But over the last, 50 or 100 years, France has become pretty well pagan. You know, pretty well, there's very little practice of faith. The churches that are big, gorgeous, thousand-year-old churches are empty. But last night, France had 17,000 people become Catholic. Half of them were Protestants of various denominations, and half of them were either atheists or Muslims. Pope Benedict, and before him, Pope John Paul II, they talked about the future of the church, and the future of the church would become smaller but more devout. And Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II both predicted that there would be a new springtime in the church. You think about the springtime that we've been seeing the last few weeks. How cool has it been to anticipate the leaves budding on the trees and the flowers when you see them kind of starting to grow and you see the buds forming and you're like, yes, winter's over. This is awesome. I firmly believe that we are seeing that happen in the church today. A new springtime predicted by the Pope John Paul the Great and again Pope Benedict. There's something new. The Lord is at work. And I think the truth of it all is it boils down to the Lord has risen from the dead. Even in the midst of all the craziness of our world, it seems like there's a lot of turbulence, a lot of political angst, a lot of financial ups and downs, and all that. The world is kind of crazy right now. In the midst of all of that, the truth of Jesus Christ crucified and risen remains. Several years ago, though, I had a dream. It was kind of a vision the Lord gave me. I was the chaplain at Capon High School, and in my dream, I was on an airplane flying over a battlefield, right? And all of my students, my seniors who are getting ready to graduate, they're in this airplane, and they got their parachutes on, and they're lined up, paratroopers, ready to jump off and join the battlefield, so to speak. And row after row after row of these kids were jumping off the plane, going into college, and getting annihilated. And that backpack, that parachute that they were jumping off the plane with, so confident that I'm ready to go, instead of a parachute, it was actually a backpack filled with books, textbooks, history and science and math and geography. And they were jumping off that plane, assuming that they had faith. And what they had was knowledge. And the two are not synonymous. Unfortunately, for a lot of us Catholics, we come to the understanding or we come to the assumption that we have a faith because I show up and I go to Mass on Sunday and I check a box and I've been baptized and therefore I'm good to go. And I think for a lot of us, there might be a false sense of security in that. Assuming we have a parachute and instead we have textbooks. There's a difference between knowing a lot about your faith and knowing the Lord Jesus. Easter is about proclaiming that Jesus is alive. He is not just some dead historical figure from history like Abraham Lincoln or Charlemagne or pick your historical character. The Lord Jesus is alive. He is a person. He is God, and he desires to know you. He desires a relationship. He desires to actually speak to you. And I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord will speak to you if you give him the time and the silence. And sometimes it'll blow your mind when you finally, a lot of times I just feel like for me, for the longest time, I'd go to prayer and I'd kind of flounder around a little bit, and I'd think positive thoughts or I'd try to, pray a rosary or kind of do the best I could. But there wasn't time spent with the Lord. And as a matter of fact, I could probably write an entire book of avoiding God in prayer. But what I am proposing to you today, on this Easter Sunday morning, is to not settle for a backpack of books, for simple knowledge about the faith. But instead, I am inviting you to experience a relationship with Jesus. Risen, conquered death, alive. Anything short of that, any faith that is short of that, I wouldn't give a nickel for it. And if your faith is short of that, I promise you, it can become alive. And it's not even that complicated. We kind of make faith this big thing that is reserved for the specialists, for the professionals, for priests and nuns or whoever, but it's far, far, far more simple than that. Today, I just invite you to make your own act of faith. If it's been a minute since you've really tried to to pray. Been a minute since you've really tried to connect with the Lord. I'm not talking about, you know, going to sitting in a holy hour and reading a Bible or distracting yourself for an hour. I'm talking about reaching out to the Lord. Give him permission. Lord, I give you permission to encounter me. I want to know that you are real. I want to feel your presence. Make that prayer today. And give him the time and the space and the silence to speak back to you. The Lord Jesus is risen, and he is alive. Please stand.